I'm Annie Bergen, and it's time for Midday Mozart on WQXR. And I'm so pleased to have in the studio with me today actor, writer, director, and music lover, Alan Alda. He's going to be narrating all Mozart program at the Bridgehampton Chamber Music Festival at the end of the month. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit first about how you got involved in the Bridgehampton Chamber Music Festival.
Well, the extraordinary flutist, Mario Martin, who runs the festival, is a friend and asked me a few years ago if I'd like to do an evening with her and the other musicians where we would read some of Mozart's letters from around the time that the piece was composed so that you got a look into his life. So I chose letters that kind of told a story about each thing. So what's nice about that is as you listen to the music, you can also not only enjoy the music, but think of it in the context of his whole life, where he was in his life, what he was going through, what he was suffering, what he was thrilled by. You know, he loved his wife, but he also first loved her sister, and she threw him over for an actor. So that you get a sense of what his life was like. And you get a sense of his real personality because a lot of what you saw of Mozart's character, his personality in the play Amadeus, you can actually see reflected in his letters. And it's very interesting to get a kind of a three-dimensional look at the person in his own words because, interestingly, in those days, people really expressed themselves with words and whole sentences. They didn't use emoji. And he could really describe what he was going through, the way he needed money, the way his heart went out to the young woman he fell in love with. You know, it's very lovely to read.
And what are some of the surprises? You've mentioned some of them that you've discovered while reading his letters.
Well, I think the biggest surprise was the way he could express himself and lead up to a punchline and that kind of thing. You know, in those days, they often paid musicians not with cash, but with gifts. And he was so sick of receiving gold watches because he couldn't spend them at the delicatessen, you know. So at one point he said, I'm going to get a jacket with two pockets and I'm going to have a watch in each pocket. Maybe they'll get the idea. I don't need any more watches.
He was a jokester, and he certainly sounds like you're having fun finding all the humor.
I love being in his presence. And the last time we did this a few years ago, the best surprise was not just reading his words, but then sitting among the musicians while they made music. Musicians are so lucky because they get to be among one another while they make the music. It hits you right in the chest. It's a different kind of sensation from when you're in the audience and it's coming at you across the room. To be among them while they do it is an extraordinary thing.
That's terrific. So I'm sure this must all tie in, though, with your enthusiasm in general for communicating and making things accessible, which you've been doing with your science projects over the years, right?
The Alda Center for Communicating Science, which I'm very, very proud of.
And so what have you found is the best way to do that, to communicate, and how are you applying that to what you learned there to this Mozart program?
You know, it's very much what Mario Martin does before every concert, and this is one reason why her audience leaps to its feet at the end of a beautiful concert, because it's not just the beauty of the music, but she talks to the audience in a personal way before the concert. And that's what we teach, is if you're talking to a crowd of people, not to make an oratorical speech, but to be personal with them. Talk to them as if you're talking to one person in a conversational tone. And Maria does that. And that has the effect of wedding the audience to the music in a personal way. And it's a much more interesting, engaging experience. I think musicians are talking more to the audience, and I think that's a good idea.
The human connection.
Yeah. But, you know, I've seen so many concerts, especially in the old days, where the performer would come out as if the audience wasn't there, sit down, ignore them, start playing, and wouldn't recognize them until taking a bow. You know, you see Yo-Yo Ma come out on stage. And when he comes out to join the orchestra, he's waving at them, laughing, passing private jokes with them, and then he takes in the audience and he responds to them, and then he sits down and he plays this heavy-duty stuff. He's already made contact with you, and you can't wait to hear how it comes out.
Mm. So what's your personal connection to Mozart? I know you have, there's a significant role he plays in your life.
Well, that's true. Very important connection. I met my wife, Arlene, 60 years ago at a mutual friend's apartment where they were playing chamber music, and I was invited to come listen. And they were playing the Mozart clarinet quintet, and Arlene was a professional clarinetist. And I was only about 19, and I was amazed. I had only begun to try to train myself to listen to serious music. And the Mozart is so gorgeous, and here was this beautiful young woman playing clarinet, and as the notes rose to the ceiling, so did I. And I was very shy, and all I could say to her when it was over was, you were very good. But we met again in that apartment a couple of months later. And what happened that night was the woman whose apartment it was had made dinner, had made a rum cake and put it on the refrigerator to cool. And it shook while it worked, while it did its magic, and the cake fell off the refrigerator. And we all heard it in the dining room. And Arlene and I were the only two people to go inside with spoons and eat it off the floor. So this, now we were bonded forever. So the Mozart meant so much to me that when I co-wrote the final episode of MASH, I made sure there was a story in there where some Chinese musicians had been captured, and the doctor who loved music conducted them in the Mozart clarinet quintet on Chinese instruments. So 110 million people the night it was played saw Mozart on Chinese instruments. More people watched it that night, I think, than had ever seen it or heard it since it was written. And it was played in a way Mozart never imagined on Chinese instruments.
Absolutely. And you were talking about the reaction to the final episode of MASH, and I understand lots of people called in to WQXR.
That's what I read. They said, what was that beautiful piece of music we heard last night? I guess not many people suspecting it was Mozart. It had a special, charming quality to it.
How did you come to appreciate classical music? Did you grow up listening to it?
You know, to some extent I did. When I was 7 years old, my father played George Gershwin in the movie biography of Gershwin called Rhapsody in Blue. And he came home with recordings of the Concerto in F and Rhapsody in Blue. And these were pieces that he had to learn to play on the piano, even though he couldn't play piano. He learned it note by note so they could show him actually playing. And Oscar Levant was the real pianist behind the scenes. But I listened to Levant's playing of these pieces over and over again. That was the only serious music I had ever heard until I was in college. My favorite song outside of Rhapsody in Blue or An American in Paris, my favorite music was Pistol Pack and Mama. So I didn't really know it. So when in college, I thought, I got to learn this stuff. This is culture. I have to. So I said, okay, the college radio station is playing a concert at noon. I'll get a sandwich and a glass of beer, and I'll listen to the concert. So I turned on the radio, and they were going to play a late Beethoven quartet. I'm listening, and I hear they're warming up their instruments. And I have a bite of sandwich, have some beer. I'm down halfway through the sandwich, and I realized they're still warming up. Right after that, I realized they weren't warming up. That was the chamber music. I was so unaccustomed to it, and it's one of the late quartets, which didn't sound conventional to me. So I had a lot to learn, and I realized I had to listen and listen and listen. And when Arlene and I married, I heard a lot of music, and I love it. It means a great deal to both of us.
So as an actor who loves music, do you see a close relationship between those two disciplines?
Yeah. Mari and I this morning were talking about how we both work. And it's a very similar thing, I think, getting ready to play a piece of music, watching Arlene and talking to Mari, similar to getting ready to perform as an actor or even getting ready to write something. I think you have to get your brain started early on it and let it work in the background of your brain. You don't just do it as an exercise. You have to become involved with it at a deeper level, really an unconscious level. And as I watch Arlene do that, I mean, I'm just amazed that they know how to breathe at the right time, where their fingers go, what the phrase means at a deeper level, how one phrase connects to another. That's exactly the same thing you have to find when you're an actor and also when you write. But you don't connect it ideally, in my opinion, consciously. As you do it more and more, the meaning rises to the surface, and that's coming from the back of my head. That's why I want to get started on it early and let it marinate in the back, mm-hmm. because the brain's always busy, even though you're not conscious of it. And I think the processes are very similar.
Mm-hmm. So it all comes together in the end.
One hopes.
Yes. So once again, tell me how you think the narration for this All Mozart program is really going to enhance the appreciation of the music.
Well, I think as you get a picture in Mozart's own words of who he is and what he's like, and then you hear what he wrote right around the time he wrote the letters you just listened to, it's like a double whammy. You're getting the music and the context of the music. You're hearing his joy or his disappointment or his frustration, and then you hear the music he was making at that same moment in that same week, sometimes a day later. It's an experience that you don't usually get at a concert. And plus, I get the fun of performing. So you see two kinds of performance. You see a little bit of what's like acting and a little bit of great music.
Terrific. So it's the Bridgehampton Chamber Music Festival. You're launching the new season. It's happening July 31st, two concerts, July 31st and August 1st in Bridgehampton, an all Mozart program narrated by Alan Alda. And I should mention this is the first of 14 concerts at the festival, which is running through August 28th. Alan Alda, I thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Annie. I really enjoyed talking with you.